Hi, I'm Dr. Barbara Byers, and welcome to my podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the joy of the Lord. And this was sparked because I was praying with some friends last week, and I just mentioned that I felt the joy of the Lord. And we started talking about that. Proverbs says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine." So I want to first talk about laughter, even though laughter is not the same as joy. It's certainly one of our responses, and I just want to tell you a little bit about what the research on laughter has indicated in terms of physiological responses in our body. So when we laugh, we release endorphins, which are natural painkillers, and serotonin, which is a natural antidepressant. And it just kind of gives us an immediate boost in mood and relaxation, a more positive outlook. It also allows us to focus in on the present moment. It reduces levels of cortisol. The cortisol is the stress hormone, so that means we have decreased stress and anxiety. It increases blood flow and oxygenates us, and so that's better cardiovascular health. It stimulates circulation and aids in muscle relaxation, so it relieves tension and promotes physical comfort. Basically, it just gives us a better overall sense of well-being. It enhances our immune system by increasing the production of antibodies and activating immune cells, making us more resistant to illness. Laughter does all these things. Isn't that amazing? And for the brain, it releases dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that's most associated with pleasure and reward. It improves our cognitive function. It improves our memory. Regular laughter stimulates creative thinking and problem solving and adaptive coping. So it gives us greater clarity and flexibility. It also stimulates our lymphatic system, which is responsible for removing toxins and waste from our body, and that will support our immune function. It also promotes shared connections, camaraderie, emotional bonding, and buffers us from isolation. It helps us cope more effectively socially and builds a positive community. So Proverbs is right, laughter is good medicine. So laughter and joy, what is it about that that's so wonderful? Well, God made us for joy. He is a joyful God, and He made us for joy. We know it's in His nature. Psalms 2:4 says, "He sits in the heaven and laughs." 1 Chronicles 16:27 says, "Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His dwelling place." And when we dwell with Him, we dwell in His joy. So it should be in our nature too, and we know it's what God intends for us. We know joy is part of our inheritance, and yet I think very often we dismiss it or ignore it or just aren't very aware that we can actually strengthen ourselves with joy and step into joy. And it's really not optional. It really shouldn't be optional. We can't really live without it. So, you know, we spend a lot of time within ourselves trying to figure out our path, our way, but God invites us to live in Him and to live fully in His joy. Jesus Himself stepped into joy. Hebrews 12:2. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before Him. Joy over what was to come enabled Him to complete His assignment, even unto death. So Nehemiah 8:8, there's a situation where the people are all gathered in the square, men and women and children. And Ezra, the scribe, is reading from the book of the law, from the books of Moses. And as he reads, they are listening, and he is translating and explaining to give meaning to it. And it's been a while since they've heard this, and they begin to weep and they begin to mourn because they know how far short they've fallen. And Ezra says, don't do this. This is a holy day. Don't weep and don't mourn. Come and eat and drink and celebrate. Verse 10 says, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You've probably heard that verse so many times, yet we just kind of bypass it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. He's telling them, celebrate, take delight in today. This is your strength. And to me, it's such an interesting passage as a holy day of the Lord. He's not saying fast. He's not saying mourn in this particular situation. He's saying, I want you to celebrate. I want you strengthened with joy. And his joy really does strengthen our body and our soul and our spirit. So what is joy? Well, you could call it ecstasy, pleasure, elation, gladness, exaltation, and delight. My favorite is delight. When I think about joy, it's that delight in things, especially delight in the Lord. In Peter's first letter, in chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, he says, you've been distressed by various trials, so the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you rejoice greatly with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I've always been captured by that phrase, joy inexpressible. It's so full, it's so rich. How can we even express it? And full of glory. So this verse says, you love him, you believe in him and trust him, and so joy is yours. Writing about this, theologian John Piper said, loving Christ means experiencing Christ as precious for all his character and virtue. Trusting him means experiencing Christ as reliable in all his promise and his counsel. So love is attracted to the beloved for who he is. Faith is confidence in the trusted one for what he will do. Joy in Christ is the deep good feelings in loving him and believing him. It's the echo in our emotions of experiencing Christ as precious and experiencing Christ as reliable. It's the deep good feelings of being attracted to him for who he is and the deep good feelings of being confident in him for what he will do. We become what we crave, and what Christians crave above all else is the glory of Christ. So our joy is inexpressible and glorified because it is joy in loving Christ and trusting Christ, which is inexpressibly glorious. I love how he linked, went back to that verse in 1 Peter and linked love, faith, trusting him, and joy. So joy has a lot to do with delight. Just think about the last time maybe you gave someone an unexpected gift and the pleasure you felt giving it and the delight they felt receiving it, or running into an old friend unexpectedly. You're just suddenly delighted. So, you know, what do you delight in? Have you taken delight recently? What do you delight in? Psalm 16:11 says, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The fullness of joy and pleasure, and it's in his presence we find our greatest pleasure. He becomes our chief delight. What about joy in the midst of trouble? Do we lose it then? Is it possible? Is it in any way possible? Well, James 1:2 gives us a very clear and very simple, but very hard instruction. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. What? Regarded as joy? Wait. The Phillips translation says, when all kind of trials and temptations crowd into your life. I like that, crowding in. Don't resent them as intruders. Isn't that our first instinct? To push it back out, to resent them as intruders? But welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. In the message, it says, consider it sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Well, you know, our nature is to get out of things, but God's nature and His wonderful deep grace toward us is that enabling power that gives us the ability to stay in trial and to endure. And so it's interesting that linking of enduring and joy, and we can't have the joy if we don't consider it joy. If we don't realize that these are gifts that we can have regardless of circumstances, His joy. And it's very antithetical to our nature to consider it that way, but He has created us to live in the fullness of joy. My little 4.5-year-old grandson the other day said to me, "Baby, why are you always laughing?" And I was so surprised he said that. And I was so happy he said that. I thought, oh, good. That's how he sees me. He sees me as a joyful person. So 1 Thessalonians 1:6 keeps echoing this idea. "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit." The more abundant the trouble, the more abundant the joy. So in everything, simply everything, we can find His joy. And it's a fruit of the Spirit outlined in Galatians 5. But those fruit are never automatic. They are things that we are gifted, but we also develop in our character as we choose to walk in His grace, as we learn to walk in it. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And the next chapter, Romans 15:13, he says, "Now may the God of all hope grant you all joy and peace in believing as you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So now we have not only love and faith linked with joy, now we have hope linked with joy. And my favorite definition of hope is it is a joyful expectancy that I'm going to meet the goodness of the Lord. So our hope ought to be joyful. What about Jesus and joy? It's interesting, Psalm 45 and then Hebrews 1:9 echoes it, that He is anointed with the oil of joy. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I want to be anointed with the oil of joy. I think that's the Holy Spirit filling Him, filling us as we're willing. I've already quoted this verse, Hebrews 12:1 and 2. It tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. He endured all that hostility, and now He's seated at the right hand of God because joy was in front of Him, and we are His joy and His delight. So Jesus said something interesting about joy. In John 15, He tells us, "I'm the true vine. I want you to abide in me, and I want you to keep my commandments." And then in verse 11, He says, "These things I've spoken so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made complete." He wants that. The very next chapter, John 16, 24, "Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full." And then in the very next chapter, John 17, 13, He says, "These things I speak so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Isn't that beautiful? So how do we stay in joy? I've got about 2 minutes to tell you. Well, we stay in the Word for one thing. Jeremiah says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and they became to me the joy and delight of my heart." When we eat His words, we can delight in His heart. Psalm 19:8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart." Psalm 119:111, "Your written instructions are mine forever. They are the joy of my heart." So staying in the Word. Second thing is, we practice trusting Him. We practice taking refuge in Him. When the storms come, we run to Him. Psalm 5:11 says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates and I give Him thanks with my song." Singing and dancing before the Lord is one of the best ways to kind of prime the pump for our joy. The third way is we meditate on His love. Just sit with him a few minutes and let him just love on you. Psalm 90 verse 14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. And then tell him what he is to you. Number 4, remember all that he's done for you. I've had a few days just remembering a lot of things the Lord has done for me. And boy, it has made my heart so thankful and so tender. When we give thanks, we receive joy. Psalm 92:4, you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. When we sing for joy, it clothes us with joy. And then the last thing is to remember that joy is a choice. It's a grace-filled choice. It's enlivened and enabled by the Holy Spirit, but we can choose joy no matter what. So I pray your week, your month will be filled with the joy of the Lord and that you'll be greatly strengthened by his joy. Thanks for listening.